Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo, and we're reading through the Bible. This is the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 19. And in this chapter, we have 21 verses. And this chapter has to do with what?
The cities of refuge.
The cities of refuge. And I was just telling the people here in this office that cities of refuge, there were several of them scattered throughout the whole land of Canaan land, after the Joshua had delegated and doled out the property to all the different tribes. And then these cities of refuge were set throughout the land of Israel, now it's called, so that people could get to the cities of refuge if they accidentally killed somebody. They could get to the cities in about a half a day. So they were strategically placed throughout the land of Israel. So in the event that you killed somebody accidentally, that you could get to the city in a half a day's journey so that the relatives wouldn't catch you and kill you. And when you get to the city, you're supposed to, there's a trial that goes on, and if you've proven to be innocent, that you have to stay there until the time that the high priest dies, which is symbolic of, like, when Christ dies for the sins of the world, we can leave the city, you know, the world, and become a part of the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Be forgiven of our sins, so we're released. And the Levites were given cities by each tribe to live in, because they were also dispersed throughout the land of Israel so that they could minister to all the people of Israel. This way, the children of Israel didn't have to just travel so far to go to synagogue or to church or to the tabernacle. So they went everywhere, and the people of each tribe had to provide a few cities for each one. Some of them had two cities, some had four or five cities for the Levites, and so on, depending on the amount of area they had and the amount of inhabitants in the area. And some of these cities were actual, that the Levites got to live in, were actual cities of refuge, because they were the determining judges that would rule on the cases of accidental murder or accidental death of people, whether it was murder or if it was accidental. And if it was accidental, then of course they got to stay there until the high priest died. So it's very interesting, you know, how that when Joshua, who is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he led them in victory, it wasn't him that gave the victory, nor was it the sword, one sword of the children of Israel that made the victory, but it was God that went before them and drove many of them out of the area with hornets and with all sorts of different miracles, where, like, the walls of Jericho collapsed. That was miraculous, amen?
Amen.
And also where, when they first went into the promised land, there was a great miracle that the Jordan River stood up on heaps and it dried out so that they could go across. Very similar incident happened around 40 years before that, when God opened the Red Sea, stood it on heaps and made a pathway for the children of Israel to go through on dry land, and then he drowned all the Egyptian army. And so there's just a rehash of that in the book of Joshua. In Joshua, it was a sort of a Christ, because when Christ came into the world, if we keep all the commandments that he tells us to keep, then we will have nothing but victory. But it has to be everything that he says. We have to keep all the commandments. If we break one, we've broken them all, and then we've got curses on us. So you've got to be very careful. And that's the book that tells us that the Lord punishes the whole corporate body of Israel if one person sins. That's the book where Achan sinned, and everyone got, the whole country, he troubled Israel, the whole nation of Israel. And he promises to do the same thing. The whole body of Christ has to keep the commandment of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so we're not to Joshua yet. And before Joshua, I've finished the book of Joshua. But before that, I've finished the book of John. And so we're going to go into John after this. And then we're going to Joshua. And I'm starting the book of Judges tomorrow. I'm a little bit ahead of y'all. Okay? Okay, I just can't wait to get the whole Bible done. So let's ask the Lord to anoint chapter 19 of Deuteronomy. Father, we thank and praise your name for your word. We know that, Lord, that these cities of refuge are set up. And some of those cities, many of them were inhabited by the Levites. And there are three major clans in the Levitical group of in the tribe of Levi, and the Kohath, and so on and so forth. And Lord, we pray that we see that how much learning. It's impossible to know the Bible unless we learn all these scriptures, and it's impossible to know you. And that's how we have eternal life, is to know you, your personality. You punish the whole nation of Israel when one person sins, because it's a body, your chosen people. And they're horrible testimony when your chosen people get out of line and sin in front of the sinners and in front of each other. So Lord, teach us these lessons, that we live one day at a time, walking in your spirit, being blessed by you all the more as we realize, we have faith in that we realize these things, which you're to know you as you are, and to know that you abhor sin, you hate it, and that you punish people for it. It's good to know these things on this side of eternity, because we have to face you, and it's a wonderful thing to face you if we've kept your commandments. And it's a wonderful life that we have here on earth if we keep your commandments, because we have life and life more abundantly right here on earth. Eternal life and life more abundantly here on earth. Lord, give us the anoint every comment that you give me, and especially in all of your word, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right. Chapter 19, Deuteronomy, verse 1.
The cities of refuge, King James Version, verse 1. When the Lord thy God hath cut off the nations whose land the Lord thy God giveth thee.
See, it says right there that the Lord God is the one that cut off the nations. That wasn't Joshua. So when Joshua was leading them, that means he's just over and over telling them, don't break one commandment. Because if you break one commandment, then we're going to be cursed just like the rest of these people that God is killing. He sent us in here because they don't pay any attention to what he says, and he's killing them. But God cut them off. He destroyed the kings, those five kings, and hung them up to show the people, you know, that look at what God did. Here he is, our enemies, hanging up here on a tree. They're dead. And all the people, all the inhabitants of the land are killed because of God. And God is leading us to victory. And through his servant Joshua, Yahshua. So this is a type of Christ, Joshua is. And then what else?
When the Lord thy God hath cut off the nations whose land the Lord thy God giveth thee, and thou succeedest them, and dwellest in their cities and in their houses. Verse 2, thou shalt separate three cities for thee in the midst of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. Verse 3, thou shalt prepare thee a way and divide the coasts of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to inherit, into three parts, that every slayer may flee thither. Verse 4, and this is the case of the slayer, which shall flee thither, that he may live. Whoso killeth his neighbor ignorantly, whom he hated not in time past. Verse 5. As when a man goeth into the wood with his neighbor to hew wood, and his hand fetcheth a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree, and the head slippeth from the helve, and lighteth upon his neighbor that he die, he shall flee unto one of those cities and live. Verse 6. Lest the avenger of the blood pursue the slayer while his heart is hot and overtake him, because the way is long, and slay him, whereas he was not worthy of death, inasmuch as he hated him not in time past.
Okay, now, when I said the Levites are dispersed throughout Israel so that they can minister, they definitely inhabited those three towns. Okay? They were there to judge the matters and to rule on the matter of whether they were murderers or if they had accidentally killed somebody. And that again shows that God has chosen judges and priests. It was the tribe of Levi, and the rest of the congregation does not have the right to start reproving and rebuking people, because you may not know the Bible. I'm sure that the Lord has appointed just a judge and a priest and a pastor these days, and the congregation are not the ones that are supposed to be scolding people or anything like that. This has caused a lot of people to fall away from the church. And there has to be an end put to it, because you do that and you're sinning, you're usurping authority, you're out of order. This is not the order of the Lord. That would be like one of the other 11 tribes going in and doing that which the tribe of Levi is supposed to be doing. You're not the tribe of Levi. Okay, if you're not a pastor, there's one pastor in this church, and that's the way it is in any real church of the Lord. And there's just certain judges, and people have to stop that. All right, then what else?
Verse 7, wherefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt separate three cities for thee. Verse 8, and if the Lord thy God enlarge thy coast, as he hath sworn unto thy fathers, and give thee all the land which he promised to give unto thy fathers. Verse 9, if thou shalt keep all these commandments to do them.
That's if you do. See, everything is conditional with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Which I command thee this day, to love the Lord thy God, and to walk ever in his ways. Then shalt thou add three cities more for thee beside these three.
Right, because as God, in other words, they just inhabited maybe one-fourth of the land. So within that one-fourth or one-half of the land, they had three cities. But as they reached out and inhabited all the land was then designated to the different tribes. And the tribe of Levi waited patiently until all the 11 tribes were given their property, then the Levites were told of the cities that they could have. But as they expanded the territory, then they added three more cities of refuge, because they wanted to keep it to where the people that were fleeing, that had accidentally killed somebody, that it would only be a half day's journey to each one of those cities. So as the territory, they possessed more of the territory, they added more cities of refuge. All right? Do you understand that?
Yes.
Okay. Does that make sense? It shows how wise God is.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
Verse 10. That innocent blood be not shed in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance.
Right, he didn't want somebody to just... If somebody did something innocent for you to kill them, that'd be innocent blood. I mean, if he told you if you're chopping wood or something, the hand will flow up and hit somebody in the head and kill them, then that isn't your fault. You should be more watchful. You should say, look, I'm going to be chopping this wood, and if the handle flew off, it would hit you. So stand over here behind me, okay? That would be better. Amen?
Amen.
Then you don't have to live with that on your conscience. Always notice around you when you're about to do something. If somebody's in the line of danger, you have to think. Because if you're not careful enough, you still could be guilty. Okay, then what else?
That innocent blood be not shed in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and so blood be upon thee. Verse 11. But if any man hate his neighbor, and lie in wait for him, and rise up against him, and smite him mortally, that he die, and fleeth into one of these cities. Verse 12. Then the elders of his city shall send and fetch him thence.
See, these elders are Levites. Okay? Okay, then what?
And deliver him into the hand of the avenger of blood, that he may die.
Okay, now we'll go into the translation.
Verses 1 through 12, the cities of refuge. The Lord your God will soon destroy the nations whose land he is giving you, and you will displace them and settle in their towns and homes.
See, he just says, the Lord will do that. And you know, right at the end of Joshua, it tells God said that he was going to displace these people. He was going to destroy every one of these nations and all these kings. And he did it right before your very eyes. Then he told you that you're going to be living in houses that you didn't build. You're going to be in cities that you didn't have anything in doing. You're going to be eating fruit off of trees that you didn't plant. And that happened. Amen?
Amen.
And they destroyed every single nation in that whole area. And that's what Joshua keeps saying at the end of the book. He keeps saying, and God told you these things, and he did exactly what he said. He made a covenant with you, and he kept his side of the covenant. Now, you people, you're not going to serve the Lord. And if you don't, he's going to do the same thing to you. And they kept saying three times in a row, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. And that batch of people did serve the Lord. Even after Joshua died, and also the elders that were at that time there. They served him right up to that time. And then in the book of Judges, of course, they started going crazy. They had their ups and downs. They were serving the Lord. They'd be destroyed, and then all of a sudden they'd cry out to God, and he'd send a Savior one time after another. And they would judge the people and deliver them. Okay, then what?
Verse 2. Then you must set apart three cities of refuge in the land the Lord your God is giving you to occupy. Verse 3. Divide the land the Lord your God is giving you into three districts, with one of these cities in each district. Keep the roads to these cities in good repair, so that anyone who has killed someone can flee there for safety.
Yeah, if he killed somebody accidentally. Yeah. Okay, so Israel is it's not very big. I mean, I went from one end of Israel to the other, and I have just a few hours. Amen?
Amen.
In a car, I went clear from Tiberias to Jerusalem in one day, or less than a day, just a few hours. Then what else?
Verse 4. If someone accidentally kills a neighbor without harboring any previous hatred, the slayer may flee to any of these cities and be safe. Verse 5. For example, suppose someone goes into the forest with a neighbor to cut wood, and suppose one of them swings an axe, and the axe head flies off the handle, killing the other person. In such cases, the slayer could flee to one of the cities of refuge and be safe. Verse 6. If the distance to the nearest city of refuge was too far, and in rage the avenger might be able to chase down and kill the person who caused the death, the slayer would die, even though there was no death sentence, and the first death had been an accident. Verse 7. That is why I am commanding you to set aside three cities of refuge. Verse 8. If the Lord your God enlarges your territory, as he solemnly promised your ancestors, and gives you all the land he promised them.
Emphasis on all the land. Okay.
Yes.
Because you only got half of it now. Then what else?
Verse 9. And you must designate three of their cities of refuge. Bracket. He will give you this land if you obey all of the commandments I have given you, which you always are to love the Lord your God and walk in his ways. End bracket. Verse 10.
Yeah. And walking contrary to his ways, sinning is contrary to God's way. whether you're conscious or unconscious, you have to learn to be awake and be conscious of what you're doing. All right?
Amen.
And then what?
Verse 10. That is why you will prevent the death of innocent people in a land the Lord your God is giving you as a special possession, and you will not be held responsible for murder. Verse 11. But suppose someone hates their neighbor and deliberately abuses and murders that neighbor, and then escapes to one of the cities of refuge. Verse 12. In that case, the leaders of the murderer's hometown must have the murderer brought back from the city of refuge and handed over to the dead person's avenger to be killed.
Yeah, and in that city of refuge, they judge the person. They have a trial. They get to have a trial. Then what else?
King James Version, verse 13. Thine eyes shall not pity him, but thou shalt put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel, that it may go well with thee. Verse 14. Thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have set in thine inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it.
Right, Joshua designated, after they went in there, he designated all the different borders and boundaries. Judah was given too much, and so they found out that there was too much, and one of them didn't have, one of the tribes, I think it was Simeon, didn't have enough, so they designated some of that property to Simeon. Okay? But they made boundaries, and that's the way the boundaries must stay throughout all generations. Then what else?
Verse 15. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth, at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established.
Okay, and remember, a witness is not just bodies or just somebody, sinners in the congregation or liars. Those are not witnesses. It has to be people that are well reputed for never having told a lie. They're not sinners. A witness is one that witnesses that God and the Lord Jesus Christ is living in you. The fullness of the Godhead is living in you. He's living out his life in you and through you. And people can tell if you're of the Lord or if you're not. And the liars, that's not a witness. Like I see people putting in reports here, and they got like three liars and two other people that are just not at all people of the Lord. And I say, you don't have any witness there, not even one, because I know the people. All right? Don't even testify if you're not a witness. A witness is one thing. Liars are something else. They're no witness. They've already testified that they're liars. Amen?
Amen.
And that they're sinners. They're not of the Lord. They don't know God. If they knew God, they would be afraid of God because of what they do. But they're not afraid of God. That's why they keep sinning. And if they're sinners, they're not witnesses. Okay? How can you get a liar to testify? They do that in the courtrooms all the time today. They have jailhouse snitches, and the prosecuting attorneys in Los Angeles and throughout the world, United States as well, they hire people to lie in court. Those are not witnesses. Get that through your head. A witness is a person that you can witness that the Lord's in them. Amen?
Amen.
Not just one day at it, but every day of their life, they're the same. That's a witness. Somebody that'll tell you that you're a liar right to your face, okay, because they're bold as lions. The righteous are as bold as lions. And not just a liar, they'll tell you just what you are. If you try to soft soap them or something, you're going to get, a dishpan of the Word of God in your face. Not soapy water, soft soap. You're going to get the truth. You're going to get tough love. Okay, then what?
Verse 16. If a false witness rise up against any man...
See, that's a false witness. Amen?
Amen.
Now, if a false witness comes, if four or five false witnesses, you can be sure that you're going to be put out of the church. I didn't put a lot of people out because they hadn't heard this word yet. I thought that the older Christians were teaching the word of God to the people, and they weren't, and so the Lord appointed me not only to just write a tract once a month, but to, he told me, don't write any more tracts while you're doing this thing. And so I'm trying desperately to write this one tract, and I know that, you know, he's given it to me, but the Lord is more having me do these messages every day. Amen?
Amen.
Which they could each one of them be a tract.
Amen?
Because I could elaborate on every one of these messages until it would fill up a whole newsletter. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Trust me. Believe me on this one. Okay? Then what?
If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, verse 17, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges, which shall be in those days.
See, only the priests and the judges. They're not going to stand up before the other 11 tribes or anybody else in the tribe of Levi, but it's the judges and the priests. You people don't have any right to judge. I mean, people are judging, you know, in people's churches, and they don't ever report anything to the pastor, but they're going and bragging, you know, to the brothers and the sisters, and they're trying to run a church their style and telling people things that are false and are out of order, and the people in the church know that they're not of the Lord, and they get really offended because the people are not anointed to judge. They're not priests. And they're not judges, not priests over this church. Okay? Now, you might be a priest and a king if you're keeping all the commands of the Lord, but if you're doing that, you're not a priest, nor are you a Christian. You're not. You're not a king either, because you're not to rule some other man's church. It's my church to run, all right?
Yes.
And people that do those things have offended so many people in this church that they just don't stay, because it's like you've got so many judges and so many priests, and one of them is hitting them with one idea of theirs and another one with another one, and they're trying to be teachers and they're novices. And the Bible says, God's word says, suffer not a novice to teach, preach, or judge. Amen? God calls certain judges. And that's Old and New Testament. It's just like this demon possessed, this demon in a man says, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And he's ran all over him, you know, and beat him up and everything. I don't know, I don't recognize you as any judge or any priest. You got guys like Tony Calagna and people like that that have gone crazy in this church. And what's this other, and Davis, he's railing on somebody because they're doing what I told them to do, give me a report. And Becky Avila that is railing on people. And God, I don't want that in my church. God doesn't want that in my church. And also Shelley, just raising havoc in the church, and people are complaining about it. You're supposed to report the matter to me and let me judge on it, all right? Because I'm always hooked up with the Lord. Like, I'm going to do it according to what he tells me. And a lot of people say, well, I haven't heard from the Lord for years. Then what are you doing judging? There was two times in the book of Joshua that Joshua didn't seek the Lord. And he really ran into one of them was when those people came pretending like they'd been out on the desert for years. Amen?
Amen.
And instead of saying, Lord, are these people phonies or not? He didn't do it. Amen? That was one of them. I'll save us the rest for, you know, we go through the book of Joshua, all right? But I seek the Lord for my answers all the time. I'm always asking the Lord, what? What shall I do with this person? What shall I do with their question? And I get answers immediately because the Lord knows I rely strictly on him. And you people, the people that are doing that in the church, you don't. You just have raised yourself up. And those that exalt themselves shall be abased, and those that abase themselves shall be exalted. Amen?
Amen.
So be careful. You know, you're meddling into the Lord's affairs, all of his affairs, and you just keep your place. Judges are specified by the Lord. Pastors, he says that not all, but some. There are some pastors, okay? I don't know of any other pastor. I look around me. If you believe God and you believe in Jesus, believe also in me, okay?
Amen.
Because you're supposed to believe also the bride. Amen?
Amen.
You're supposed to believe the church. Okay, if you believe in God and you believe in Jesus, believe also the church. The real church, not the usurpers of authority. They're not the church. They're not even part of it. So those of you that have been that way, repent or you're going to be destroyed. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus said, if you believe in God, believe also in me. Because in my Father's house are many rooms, and I'm just one of them. Father's living in me. Amen? I'm one of the rooms that he's living in. And so believe also that he's living in Tony. All right?
Amen.
I'm another room. So if you believe in God, believe in Jesus, believe also in me. The Lord lives in me, man.
Amen.
And he gave me a job to do, and I'm not going to be telling you that it's only my... That's my exclusive job and not yours, if it isn't so. All right?
Amen.
Have I made my point?
Yes.
All right, praise the Lord. The Lord gives me that. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, what else? And if you want the Lord to live in you as one of his rooms, well then, repent, okay, and keep all of his commandments. All right? All right, praise the Lord. Then what?
Verse 18. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition. And behold...
See, the judges. Amen. Not you. They'll make diligent inquisition. First of all, they'll be talking to the Lord. Then they'll be, you know, inquiring of these people that say that they didn't murder anybody. They just... It was an accident. Okay. Then what?
And behold, if the witness be a false witness... and hath testified falsely against his brother. Verse 19, then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother.
Right, if you were accusing somebody of murder or some evil thing to try to get him put out of the church, and you're found to be lying about that brother or sister, well then, you're the one, or you know, that back then, if you were testifying against them that they murdered somebody and they didn't, then you're the one that's going to get stoned to death. All right? And justly so, you're trying to murder somebody. And do it in the name of legitimacy, you know, through the court system, by lying. Or if you're trying to get somebody thrown out of the church, then you get thrown out, because we don't need liars like you in the church, amen?
Amen.
Or somebody that vicious? All right, then what?
So shalt thou put the evil away from among you.
Verse. This is God talking, amen?
Amen.
You don't like the way he talks? Well, it's unlikely that you'll ever win a battle against him. Okay, nobody else has. Okay, and I'm sure you won't. Okay, what else?
Verse 20. And those which remain shall hear and fear, and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you.
Amen.
Verse 21, and thine eye shall not pity, but life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot.
Yeah, if you cut somebody's hand off or something, and you did it on purpose, or their foot, or their ear, or whatever, yours gets cut off. Or if you murder them, you get cut off, period. You get stoned to death. But now the Lord just will take care of you. He'll take care of you. He'll kill you. He says it, I'll destroy you. Okay, then what else?
Translation, verse 13 through 21. Do not feel sorry for that murderer! Exclamation mark. Purge the guilt of murder from Israel, so all may go well with you. Concern for justice, verse 14. When you arrive in the land the Lord your God is giving you as a special possession, never steal someone's land by moving the boundary markers your ancestors set up to mark their property. Verse 15. Never convict anyone of a crime on the testimony of just one witness. The facts of the case must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses.
Real witnesses. Okay, then what?
Verse 16. If a malicious witness comes forward and accuses someone of a crime, verse 17, then both the accuser and the accused must appear before the priests and judges who are on duty before the Lord.
Again, the priests and the judges, not the congregation. Okay, or just somebody that raises themselves up as a big mouth, a know-it-all, know-nothing. Okay, then what?
Verse 18. They must be closely questioned, and if the accuser is found to be lying, verse 19, the accuser will receive the punishment intended for the accused. In this way you will cleanse such evil from among you. Verse 20, those who hear about it will be afraid to do such an evil thing again. Verse 21, you must never show pity! Your rule should be life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot.
And remember, this is God that says you shall not show any pity. Like when somebody has done that and I'm putting them out of the church and they start screaming and crying, haven't you got mercy? We're trying to destroy souls. Should I let them stay in the church and destroy souls?
No.
I have mercy on the souls in the church, not you, you vile creature. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now we have some commentary. That was Deuteronomy 19. Then what?
19, verse 2. In chapter 4, verses 41 through 43, Moses commanded that three cities of refuge would be established on the east side of the Jordan. Here he instructed the Israelites to establish three such cities on the west side as they took possession of the land. These cities replaced the altar, see Exodus 21:12 through 14, as a refuge for the manslayer, since the altar would be too far away for most of the people. Exodus 21:12 through 14. Quote, he that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death. And if a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee. But if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, thou shalt take him from mine altar that he may die. Unquote.
Right, this is the God of love. This is kill him and have no mercy. Okay, so it shows that God is a God of justice, amen?
Amen.
And correct judgment. That's God's judgment, not these fly-by-night Vaticanites with their Roman canon law, these sinners that are committing adultery and fornication, getting drunk and on drugs all the time, that are in government. I have nothing. I entangle myself nothing. They're going to do what they're going to do, and I have nothing to do with them. But I'm judging, I'm showing with God's judgment what God's judgment is. And you all know what the other judgment is in this world. And let them judge that way if they want, but they're all going to be judged by the Lord. Then what?
19, verse 3 through 4. The manslayer is he who kills without premeditation, unintentionally. 19, verse 6. The avenger of blood refers to the closest male relative of the deceased. It was his responsibility to bring the manslayer before the court of law in his hometown to be judged. The danger existed that the relative might kill the responsible party while his anger is hot, rather than bring him to the courts. 19 verse 11 through 13. Premeditated murder required severe punishment, because it violated the sanctity of life and defiled the land where God dwelt with his people. 19 verse 21. Check that out in Leviticus chapter 24 verse 20. Quote, breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. As he hath caused a blemish in a man, so shall it be done to him again. Unquote. 19 verse 1 through 7. In ancient Near Eastern societies, if a person kills someone, the deceased person's family had the right of vengeance, even if the killing was accidental, some people say. But this isn't true. If it's accidental, that's what the three cities were for. God's concern with justice in the Israelite society led to his institution of cities of refuge.
That's what the three cities were for, and eventually six cities. Okay, then what?
If a killing was accidental, the person guilty of manslaughter could run to one of the three cities for safety from the avenging family. As we progress in maturity of faith, we also need places where we can escape pressing demands of life, places where we can find support as we begin the task of rebuilding faith in that we are maturing.
And, you know, that place is the church, where if it's a true church of the Lord, you come in for refuge, you know, to hear what the word of the Lord says about. There's a person who called me today and says, the devil keeps telling me that I've sinned so much. And I talked to them, they were confessing to me over the last few days. And they said, I said, well, you know it's the devil, right? And they said, yes. And I said, well, these things happened to you before you were really saved, and you're forgiven for them now. As long as you don't do them anymore, then you're not guilty. God drowns all your former sins in the sea of his forgetfulness, and you're not guilty any longer. And she says, oh, God, that's just exactly what I had to hear. Yeah, tell that to the devil when he's coming to you and telling you that you're a sinner. If you were a sinner, the devil wouldn't come in and accuse you of it. Amen? Because he can't tell the truth. Amen?
Amen?
And when you were sinning out in the world, did the devil ever come to you and tell, hey, you're sinning, you got to stop it? Huh? He never did me.
No.
God himself had to come down and tell me I was sinning, and that I had this. He stopped me right in my tracks. Amen?
Amen.
Stopped me dead in my tracks. Okay, then what?
Groups or church fellowships often serve as places of refuge for those that are striving for a more mature faith. 19 verse 14. It is important to God that we respect the property of others. This verse forbids moving of landmarks, specifically addressing the issue of real estate rights. Physical landmarks are an important kind of personal boundary. As we relate to others, we need to be sure that we respect the legitimate boundaries they had set up, physical or emotional. As we take inventory of our wrongs, we should pay close attention to this boundary issue. In what ways have we trespassed in other people's lives?
Right. Now, but in what way have we trespassed God's laws? If you cross his boundary lines, then you're bound for hell and the lake of fire, but you have to stay within the realm of what God says we can and cannot do. He tells us what the boundary lines are, and that's we have to stay in that perimeter. Okay, then what else?
19 verse 21. Here is the law of retribution in its simplest form. Given this kind of context, the test of maturity would be virtually impossible. All the wrongs we have ever committed would have to be leveled against us for our guilt to be satisfied. How wonderful that God has provided his Son to take this punishment on our behalf. Maturity in faith can take place only in the environment of the power of God, and we can do that by the creation of work, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ working in and through us.
And that's the Holy Spirit. That's the force of God. If the force of God is in you, like God, I said the other day that God has given the Son a certain force. It gives us a force of light and also to grow things, vitamin D and vitamin C, everything. Then there's the force of the moon, which causes the tides, which jurisdicts the forces, the tides to come in. We can predict the tides and the moons and the stars, and all these have different forces. And the force, now we're not to worship any of those, because that's just what God manufactured with his word. And he manufactured us with his word too. And he said in his word that he wants his force, his power, powerful force to live inside us, to direct us, to drive us. It says in the Bible where the force of the Lord God forced Jesus up into the wilderness right after he was baptized. Amen?
Amen.
We're to be led by that force. Amen?
Amen.
And it's a powerful force. And that was chapter 19 and until chapter 20 of Deuteronomy. Let God's force be leading and directing you. And when you do, you know, like if there's something wrong with you, just ask the Lord constantly, am I doing something wrong? Should I be eating what I'm eating right now? Should I be sleeping now? Should I get up now? Should I lay here in bed a little bit longer to get some rest? Should I go over to a certain place today? Should I go over and inspect some of the work that people are doing for me? Is it time for me to eat now? Is it time for me to write now? Is it time for me to bring a message now? If you'll start asking the Lord all these questions and listen for his answer by the Spirit, let his force show you one way or the other. Like there's a force of God that will check you if you're not supposed to. Then you say, well, then is it this that you want me to do? Or this, or this. And then you feel a release. That means that's yes. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That's the way it works with me. That's how the Lord talks to me. And sometimes a lot of times he just audibly talks to me. And people that don't know the Lord, they just say, oh, God talks to you. Why? If you can talk, dummy, don't you think God can? Amen?
Amen.
You being a stupid person can talk, don't you think God can? He's the one that made you, you funny little monkey. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, they say, oh, you're insulting me. Well, no, you insult God. You need to be insulted. Amen?
Amen.
It's good for you to be insulted. Who are you? Talk to the Lord. He'll hear you and answer you. Now, I know a lot of people don't like the way I talk, but that's just the way I am. And the Lord told me to just tell it like it is, and that's the way it is. He said that he says that cease ye from man in whose nose is one breath, for how little is he to be accounted. You take yourself too serious. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord, when he dealt with me, it was like he was dealing with a little monkey or something, you know, like he was pulling the breath in and out of me like a marionette, like I was some kind of a puppet on a string. And my breath was on a string. He'd just pull it in and out. So I figure if as much money as I made in my life, if I was he played with me like a little monkey, I think he could do that to you too, okay? That's why I say that word every so often. But anyway, until chapter 20, remember the things that you've learned in this chapter and keep your mind on the Lord, because all you have to do is one day at a time, just stay in the Spirit, meditate, think about the Lord, get into the book of Psalms. This isn't all you're supposed to do every day. It's just listen to this message that the Lord has given me. Pray and ask him if he wants you to read something from the New Testament. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so praise the Lord. God's blessing you, I know, because you're keeping his commandments. Amen?
Amen.
And it said, the Lord says, don't offend him. You know, many of the things that we say to people will offend them. Well, there's many offenses in this word, but don't offend the Lord. That's the thing when he means offend. Don't offend him. So, Lord bless you. And I know he is if you're keeping his commandments, and praise the Lord.